Thank you for joining us at Cultivating Hearts Radio. Tara's laughing at me. We are studying Acts 1:1-11 on the ascension of Jesus. And if you've been tuning in, oh my goodness, you would be so blessed. There's so much in this passage that we can't even seem to cover, but it is good. We've been talking a lot about waiting as Jesus commanded the disciples. We talked about standing firm and holding fast, you know, that we all have to remember God has no favorites. Mm-hmm. We're in this together, people, and God wants you if he doesn't have you already.
Yeah. I wasn't laughing at you. I was smiling inside. I actually smiled because when she said, welcome to Cultivating Hearts, it's like her little soothing voice. I was like, I just love that.
And then comes out the...
Because it's so fun. You're just so beautiful.
That's my inside voice.
I like it.
I taught.
Sandy was a teacher. She's using her teacher voice.
Good evening. Welcome to Cultivating Hearts.
I'll tell you what, if you guys have been listening to this month, we love you.
You're going to laugh. It actually helps us lose weight, so we'll own it, right? Did I just kill the spiritual on that one?
It's all right.
Okay. So, we're doing the ascension. So what we are doing is by filling the radio station with laughter, we are ascending.
We are.
There you go. Yeah, that was a
laughter's
far stretch.
Laughter is good medicine.
Yes, a far stretch mm-hmm. for my theological application. Right. Okay. So we're covering the book of Acts, and we're talking about Jesus' last moment. They consider this his 11th appearance that Scripture references. And so it's his last words, and today we're going to examine what is it that we need to have based on what we learn from what happened with them. What do we need to take away? Why is the ascension so important? So we'll go ahead and do you want to read it for us, Sandy?
Yeah, which version do you want?
Whatever version makes you happy. How many copies of different?
I have three versions.
Sandy, read them out to us and let's decide.
New King James, NIV. And NLT.
All right, let's do the NLT. That's more
okay,
like a story.
Here we go.
Let's do that one.
Dear Theopolis, in my first book, I told you about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day he ascended to heaven after giving his chosen apostles further instructions from the Holy Spirit. During the 40 days after his crucifixion, he appeared to the apostles from time to time and proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. On these occasions, he talked to them about the kingdom of God. In one of these meetings, as he was eating a meal with them, he told them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you what he has promised. Remember, I have told you about this before. John baptized with water, but in just a few more days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." When the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, are you going to free Israel now and restore our kingdom?" The Father sets those dates, he replied, and they are not for you to know. But when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will receive power and will tell people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. It was not long after he said this that he was taken up into the sky. While they were watching, he disappeared into a cloud. As they were straining their eyes to see him, two white-robed men suddenly stood there among them. And they said, "Men of Galilee, why are you standing here staring at the sky? Jesus has been taken away from you into the heavens, and someday, just as you saw him go, he will return."
May God honor the reading of his word.
That is a different version.
It's good. Yeah, mm-hmm. And it is good to have the different translations mm-hmm. Because it helps us to break down memorization. Mm. All of them are translations. Remember, the original, right. In order for us to say that I'm the original, we would have to have read this text in Greek.
Right.
And so since we're not Greek and we can't read in Greek, all of them are going to be a translation.
Right.
And so that's important to know. So we're looking at what can I take away? Why is this story, this narrative, so important? So I just want to hear from you two. Why is it so important? What's the value? What do I need to remember?
Part of it proved that Jesus was who he said he was.
Uh-huh. Mm. Right? That's so good. Uh-huh. That's so good.
And I think I said either on the program or some other time, it just is the finalization of us and what we need to believe about Jesus. Mm. Mm. He He came to earth as human. He died. He was resurrected. Mm. And then he ascended into heaven and is at God's mm-hmm. right hand.
Wow. Great summary there. That was good. Good stuff, teacher. Good stuff. I was like, so incredible. So I started writing out a list this morning. I have a pretty long list. It went through K.
One through K?
One, A through K.
Oh, I was going to say. Got a problem there.
We really are being funny today. So, Sandy, don't. I'm going to start snorting. Don't get me going. Uh-oh. As I was thinking through this, there were so many things that it's like I just started making a list and I was like, oh my goodness, there's so much. Like, I don't know why we don't sit more on a passage. I don't know. I learned so much by the process mm-hmm. that I go mm-hmm. through in order to prepare to actually tell a Bible narrative in story form. Mm-hmm. And these are truths that I've learned because I was preparing myself. I call it story-centric discipleship.
And she draws pictures.
I do. I have my little drawing here. You can follow my little drawing. Here, let me hold it up to the mic. Can you see? And I create little drawings to help me recall my stories. And I also create word lists and word phrases and stuff. But here's some things that I saw that I'd like to take away. One, I need to expect that God is at work. Huh. And think about it. God knows the days, the times, and the seasons, and he's going to orchestrate things. And I think sometimes it's very easy for us not to have that expectation. We need to live in holy expectation of God at work in my season, in my day, in my moment. Uh-huh. He's at work. Mm. And so I need that holy expectation. In that, that means I have to anticipate God's promise, any of his promises. If a promise is made to the people of God in Scripture, I can anticipate that in my holy expectation, God's promises will be fulfilled in my life. And that builds within me a confidence mm-hmm. that I did not know I could have. And the more I have matured in Christ and the more I have understood the importance of holy expectation of God's work and the anticipation of God's fulfillment of a promise, I have found that my confidence happens. And when I have that confidence, it's absolutely nuts. People see it and peace is evident because I'm not then tossing to and fro, to and fro. I'm actually living in what I know. And that just, oh, it's so incredible. And so that next is, I've got to wait for the Holy Spirit. And so until the Spirit of God tells me to move, don't move. So Greg and I have a certain thing that we do, and that if something comes our way and we have to make a decision, we will both pray, we will both read our Bible, and we'll wait to see how the Spirit of God moves in both of us to see if he affirms it in both of us. And if he doesn't affirm it in both of us, then we know it's a no. If he affirms it in us, and one of us maybe has a stronger affirmation, we find out why. And if it's supported by Scripture, then that helps. And so recently I had a circumstance where I've been asked to participate in becoming an executive coach with Crew. And going in and actually taking some of their top leaders, they'll pull 40 of their top leaders, and then out of those 40, they'll have a leader who's not in Crew appointed to one person. And for 2 years, you coach that person in their ministry with Crew. I'm like, I'm not smart enough. I'm not whatever. It's like, I don't even know how this happened. This is so random. Wasn't in pursuit of it. Mm-hmm. No clue. It's like, God, what do I do? And first is, you know, I talked to my husband, and Greg's like, I told you you're a coach. You'd be so good at that. So we, you know, that's his first response. But we both went to go pray. And so waited. And he's reading his Bible, doing his morning devotional. And he comes over to me, and I'm reading my Bible. And he says, got a verse for you. And I don't even remember. It's like Jeremiah 5:13 or 13:15. I can't remember, so forgive me for that. But it says, I will send you a shepherd who will help you with knowledge and understanding. And it was like in his normal daily reading the very morning that we were praying through this. And he goes, I think you're supposed to be a crew coach. And I'm like, huh. And so I'm praying. And then, you know, and multiple things kept happening. And my husband kept affirming me with it. And finally, it's like, okay, I think I'm supposed to say yes. I don't know what the outcome of what that would look like in 2 years investing in one person. I don't know that whole thing. It's like, okay, yes. And so
you're so good at investing in people, Tara. It's perfect for you.
I'm going to have fun. I believe it in my heart. I'm going to. But he used this study of the ascension to do the affirmation for me, because we have to wait for the Holy Spirit. But when we wait and we allow the Holy Spirit to show us, he will lead us. And so not only should we have the expectation that God's at work and we should anticipate his promise being fulfilled, but we need to follow the Spirit's leading and be willing to do that and not to do the ministry apart from the Holy Spirit. That's critical. Mm. And in that, that means that we have to trust God's reliability. Mm-hmm. See, I think we forget God's reliable. Mm-hmm. He's good. What he creates is good. Mm-hmm. What he is doing in us is good. And what he brings to fulfillment is good. He is reliable. And so I wrote that one down. And the other thing, the next one is that embrace the Father is good. He gives good gifts. He's faithful to complete those good gifts, recognizing the goodness of God, and his goodness is for us. Isn't that what Jeremiah 29:11, everybody loves, is, you know, for I know the plans I have for you, not to harm you, but to give you a hope and a future. And so recognizing that. And then also recognizing God's inclusiveness. The purpose of waiting was so that the power of the Holy Spirit could come upon them, because they were going to be the ones who would take the message, the gospel message, that God so loved the world that he gave his son, that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. God is inclusive. It's to all nations. It's to all people groups. And that's incredible. In that means that we have to encourage faith in us. In the wait, faith feels like it can fail. Mm-hmm. And I know I'm not the only one that has that. But here's the deal. We're called to praise God. So if I have a holy expectation of God at work, if I have an anticipation of the promises of God, and if I am waiting for the movement of the Spirit of God, where is my focus?
On God. Not on yourself.
Completely. Yeah, right. My focus is where it needs to be. Yeah. And it will be in praise. And the enemy cannot inhabit the praises of God's children. Mm. And that will slay anything. So we have to encourage our faith. And the way we encourage our faith is by listing out what we know about God and how God's at work, and anticipating those promises and the fulfillment and the power of the Holy Spirit. The next thing is that in that means I have to remain focused on what God's plan is. And so if I am struggling with what's my purpose, well, we know our purpose is to go be witnesses. We know our purpose is to be witnesses to those that might persecute us. They might reject us. All the things that happened to Jesus, those are things that will happen to us. But here's the deal. Focus on God's plan. And if we're focused on him, our faith's going to grow. And as that persecution's coming, that means that we're going to be able to handle it. And in that, the anticipation of waiting for Christ's return ends up increasing in us. So as we're being persecuted, as we are being rejected, as we are, those will actually cause the increase of the longing for his return. Mm-hmm. Because the disciples are looking up and the angels are like, why are you looking? He's coming back the way he went. Mm-hmm. He's not gone forever. Remember, he's giving you the promise of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And so that means I have to be obedient to the call I've been given. So wherever I'm at, that means I should be a witness. And so, I don't know, a long, long time ago, it was probably like 21, driving by a grocery store, and they had on their poster a big billboard that said, wherever you go, there you are. Wherever you go, there you are. And as a believer in Christ, that should be our attitude. Wherever you go, there you are. That's where you're called to be a witness. That's where you should be living in the holy expectation.
It's not a coincidence you're there.
That's where you should be anticipating the promises of God. That's where you should be following the Holy Spirit's leading. And if you are honoring that wherever you go, you'll find that you don't think you're not meeting your purpose, because you are, because you're fulfilling your eternal purpose. What all the stuff is on this earth isn't as important as much as that eternal purpose, and that's where that longing gets met. Mm. How incredible is that? I'm like, oh, okay, enough said. Everybody should be listening to that, and you just need to say yes and amen, and so be it in me, right?
Yeah.
That's what amen means, so be it in me.
Is that your list?
Yeah, that was my list.
Boy, did I miss some. I've got A, A to I.
Okay, so... Expect
laughing.
That God is at work.
Got it.
Anticipate God's promise. Follow the Holy Spirit's leading.
Oops.
Do not do ministry apart from the Holy Spirit. Trust God's reliability. Embrace the Father's goods, the goodness of who He is, the good gifts, the faithful of His goodness, and all that. I started to count. I shouldn't have done that. Recognize God's inclusiveness to all the nations. Encourage faith, remain focused on God's plan, wait for Christ's return, and obey the call to be a witness. So that should have been 12.
Got it.
Got it? You labeled them the right thing,
well,
instead of numbers?
Yeah. The problem was I added the one in with another one.
Aha. Uh-huh. That's all right, because I probably set them together. So who should this story be told to?
Everybody.
Everybody.
Okay. We're getting very close to where we're going to have to end. So I'm going to fill this out and just say, okay, the angel said, why are you looking? He's coming again. Hear this. Jesus left physically. He left visibly. He left from the Mount of Olives. He left in the presence of his disciples, and he left leaving a blessing on the church. Mm-hmm. Guess what? Jesus will return physically. He will return visibly. He will return to the Mount of Olives. Mm-hmm. He will be in the presence of people that are his disciples, and he will return blessing his church. Mm. Is that like...
That's amazing.
Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
I'm like, oh my goodness, this is so good, so rich. I love his word. Mm. So I hope you're listening, and I'm going to say to you, listen. Like Jesus said when he would disciple people, listen means I want you to listen with a heart that's ready to respond. You know what it is you're supposed to do, so just go do it. God bless. Thanks for listening to Cultivating Hearts.